Stacey Corcoran Podcast.
In a desperate attempt to fill 24 hours of programming, here's some bullish that happened somewhere today. We've got some footage here of the bullish, which began just after 3 o'clock this afternoon when residents in this neighborhood were shocked to see this fairly common thing happening. An attractive witness described the event in breathless terms.
I went to my window and I was like, whoa, there's some bullish happening.
That happened right over there. I'm an older man, so you can trust what I say.
Authorities in special uniforms rushed to the scene to stand around while our cameras filmed them. Our reporter Keith Collins joins us now live from the scene of the bullshit through the use of expensive technology. Good to be with you again, Keith. We have a colorful graphic here that shows instances of bullshit like this are on the rise. Is that right?
Yes, although why is unclear. Some say it's because of one fucking reason. Others say it's because of some other fucking reason. I talked to this random expert on the subject who told me this thing you're about to hear him say right after he points at a piece of paper.
I spent my entire life attending the nation's most prestigious schools to talk about bullshit like this. I'm really just happy to be on TV.
Now let's see if we can drag this out a little longer by showing emails written by some of our viewers. I once saw some stuff kind of like the shit you're talking about happen. I have nothing more to add. Another person says, I am angry that things like this happen. I get mad about every bullshit thing I see. So obviously a lot of opinions there to make this story seem somewhat meaningful.
Oh, absolutely, Glenn. This bullshit has some broader implications. Here's a list of tips on how to avoid bullshit happening to you.
And here's some footage of Congress.
Yes, I see that.
Well, thank you, Keith. Let us know if there are any updates on this bullshit story from there.
There's no way there will be.
Very good. We'll check back with you in an hour anyway.
I'm just some fucking guy.
When we return, we'll look at live footage of a car chase taken from a helicopter and Free Associate about what's going on.
Now, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Tuesday, September 14th edition of the J.C. Corcoran Podcast here at jcontheline.com. A little bleary-eyed here today. I made the mistake of trying to stay up and watch that football game last night. Then it goes into overtime, and I was just a goner at that point. Oh, well, can't win them all. So, how about this? The polls are showing increasing support for vaccine mandates. They're up only a couple of ticks, you know, like 3, 4, 5, 6 points, something like that. But it is indicative of a trend because this is not the first time those polls have shown upward movement in the whole idea of getting mask mandates as the law of the land, or at least certain hotspot communities. So keep your eye on that. In the meantime, Jeff Bridges announced, you know, he's got lymphoma, so he's been fighting that off. Well, that's in remission now. He said the large mass that he had is now the size of a marble. And he also said that earlier this year, he caught COVID-19 from his chemotherapy facility, and that almost killed him. So he is recovering from both things right now, which is a shame because he's a good guy. Jeff, you know, there's certain people that you can talk to, and you know, you get these interviews, and I get somebody for like 10 minutes. And even when I was doing those trips to New York and LA for those movie junkets, you know, you'd get your 10 minutes, and then it was pretty soon it was 6 minutes, and then it was 5, then it was 4, and then I stopped doing it because the whole thing was pointless. You can't get anything worth anything. That's not a conversation. Sitting down and talking to somebody for 4 minutes, all that shows is that you were with that person. And in the average interview, in those sort of stressful conditions, I'm not talking about where somebody comes into the studio and you get to sit down with them and you get to know them a little bit and they get to know you a little bit and pretty soon they're telling stories and you're telling stories and you get a good interview, there's a back and forth. You know, you might have somebody for, you know, 15, 20 minutes, half an hour. I mean, we used to have people on for a long time. You know, and sometimes people will just sit with you in the studio and go, well, can you hang out? And they're like, sure. and you play commercials and you get the news out of the way, you come back and they're still there, and you're really having a nice time. And we've had so many instances like that. And the phone calls, those are not as good because you're not sitting there looking at the person. You know, it just stands to reason. And but every once in a while, in those sort of stressful situations where you don't have somebody for that long, you still can obtain the information you need, and you can assess the situation, get a decent interview, and walk away with the idea that somebody's a good guy. And that was definitely the case with Jeff Bridges.
The A-List Interview with JC and the Morning Show, Graham.
Talking the Big Lebowski with actor Jeff Bridges.
It occurred to me that coming from a Southern California background, show business family, a lot of money and a lot of advantages that a lot of other kids growing up don't have. Has it occurred to you that you could have ended up being the dude?
There are elements in my past that are very dude-like. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Late 60s, early 70s, very much so. Oh,
very
yeah.
Dude-like.
Very dude-esque, yeah. They told me years ago, they'd been working on the script for many years, and they said, oh, we got this part for you. It's written with you in mind. And then I read the script, and I had no idea where they got this idea that this was perfectly written for me.
See what I mean? Just in that little 45-second clip, you get the idea. He's just a really a great guy. It's interesting that this story would come out today because the year was 1991, and I was in Los Angeles interviewing Jeff Bridges and Robin Williams for the 1991 movie The Fisher King, which got lots of nominations and a couple of wins, too. In 96, on this date, I was in Toronto, Canada, which is the coolest city. And I made sure I talked to Jay Randolph. I'm talking about Senior, Jay Randolph Senior. You know, because he had been in every city doing golf stuff for NBC Sports, and he knew everybody, he knew every city, and he knew all the good restaurants. And he sent me to a Chinese restaurant in Toronto called Lee Chi Gardens. And one of the nice things about, in addition to the food being unbelievable, you know, you sit there and you wait, and then they show up, you know, like six guys come to the table with these tureens, and they pop the lid off these tureens. And it's like show business. You know, the presentation is just so cool. The food was fantastic. And on top of it, although it seems like a non sequitur, they got a guy doing Frank Sinatra songs. You know, he's singing live in the restaurant. Now, it's a Chinese restaurant, so like I said, it doesn't necessarily go hand in hand, but nobody was complaining, let's put it that way. So I made sure I ate at that place, and it was a great dining experience, as they say. But we were there for a movie called 2 Days in the Valley. 2 Days in the Valley. You may not remember this movie very well from 96, but it had Terry Hatcher and Charlize Theron. Now, this was Charlize Theron's first, might have been her first movie of any kind. I know it was the first movie where she was sort of featured and anybody had actually seen her. She was very, very sort of, you know, matter of fact. She didn't show a lot of emotion. She was wearing these little wire-rimmed granny glasses, not a lot of makeup. And obviously, this was a long time ago. This is 1996. And I remember thinking to myself, this woman is so naturally beautiful. You almost look at her and it's like she's perfect, you know, almost perfect. But I was there for Terry Hatcher. I've had a thing for her for a very, very long time. And I had seen movies with her shirt off. And I'm just going to be a guy here for the next couple of seconds. Sorry, ladies. This woman is exactly what JC is looking for. All right. And she was fun, too. But in this particular movie, it was Charlize Theron who had her shirt off and not Terry Hatcher, although there's a couple of scenes of Terry Hatcher in her underwear that are almost as good. Okay, I'm done being a guy now. All right, moving on. Speaking of theatrical stuff, the Fox Theater now, going back to the COVID stuff, masks, COVID test results, vaccines, the works. You're not going to be able to just stroll into the Fox Theater anymore. You're going to have one of those things to prove that you are not walking around with the virus. France has banned all unvaccinated American travelers. So here we go again. And here we go again with Pete Davidson. hanging out with and making kissy face with gorgeous women, and I don't get it. The last one with Kate was Kate Beckinsale. Obviously, before that, Ariana Grande. And now, Kaley Cuoco, who just announced her divorce last week. Pete Davidson, Kaley Cuoco making a romantic comedy together called Meet Cute. But sources on the set seem to think there's something going on. Plus, they went to Six Flags together last month, and they both just happened to become single during the shoot. How does this work? How does this work? Pete Davidson is almost freakish. He's almost ghoulish looking. What the hell is going on? Cops is coming back. Fox News is reviving it on its Fox Nation streaming service beginning October 1. The show was canceled last summer amid protests over police brutality. America's Got Talent tonight on NBC. Late night, Kendall Jenner and her big old behind on with Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Kimmel's got Magic Johnson. Justice Stephen Breyer on with Stephen Colbert. That's interesting. Kobe Smulders and Regina Hall on with James Corden. Kate Hudson, who just announced her engagement yesterday. She's dating a guy for 5 years. They're finally going to get married. So she's going to be on with Seth Meyers and Gabrielle Union. With Trevor Noah. Hey, Jeff Bezos might be buying the Denver Broncos. And by the way, he could buy every NFL team and still have about $90 billion in the bank. He could buy the league at this point, but he might be buying the Denver Broncos. That, by the way, would represent less than 2% of his total worth. Keegan-Michael Key has joined the cast of Wonka, the prequel to Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, starring Timothy Chalamet. There's the trailer out now for the Colin Kaepernick Netflix series, Colin in Black and White. Birthdays today, well, Amy Winehouse would have been 38. She didn't make it. She died in 2011. Ryan Sutter. Okay, and you're saying to yourself, oh, yeah, from the Blues. No, no, no. This is the guy who won the Heart of Trista in the first, or was the first or second Bachelorette. This was an amazing story because you remember that she, Trista, is from like Chesterfield or Town and Country or something like that. So when this whole thing was going on, we called up the promotion company and we said, hey, you know, St. Louis radio station, number one in the market. We do a lot of celebrity stuff. And since Trista is from the St. Louis area, we would love to have her on. And they're like, she's a private person. Leave her alone. Click. I'm like, oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. So let me get this right. So she goes on national TV. In every one-hour episode of The Bachelorette, she's kissing on like a half a dozen different guys. And then as the series goes a little deeper, she's in a shower stall. And they're like, okay, we're going to put a camera in the shower stall. And you get in that shower stall with one of these strangers. And we're going to turn on the water. We're going to soap both of you up. And then, you know, you do his back and he does your back and the whole thing. And we're going to shoot all this. We're going to record all of this to put on national TV with the water and the soap just running down your big fake plastic boobs. And would you like an interview? No, she's a private person. Leave her alone. Oh, okay. Sorry. Kimberly Williams from the Father and the Bride series there. She's 50 today. Dan Cortez, 54. Faith Ford, who was the Grand Marshal of one of the St. Patrick's Day parades back in the, I want to say like maybe 88, 89, somewhere in there when Murphy Brown was a real big show. And she had no connection whatsoever to St. Louis, had never stepped foot in the state of Missouri. She's from somewhere in Louisiana, I believe. But, yeah, she was nice, and they had her on the float, and so what? 57 today, Sam Neill, who is in one of my all-time favorite movies ever called The Dish. Now, there's a couple of other movies that have the word dish in them, and you got to be careful. You got to make sure you're getting the right movie. But here's the story of this movie. Sam Neill is a technician, like an engineer, and in just on the coast of Australia, they had, in 1969, one of the biggest satellite dishes on the entire planet. You know, one of those ones where you could actually run around in the thing. You could kick a soccer ball from one end of the thing to the other. And, you know, it would take a while for it to get from one end to the other. I mean, it was like one of these giant, giant things. Just a picture, like something from that Jodie Foster movie about the aliens, okay? So it's one of those big things. So somebody at NASA figured out, because of the positioning of all the planets and the moon and the Earth and the whole thing, we were not going to be able to get live television pictures of Neil Armstrong getting out of the lunar module back in July of 1969 during the Americans' moon landing. So they contact these people who have this giant, giant satellite dish on the coast of Australia, and they're like, yeah, we can do it. And the story sort of goes on from there, because you have this tiny, tiny little, gosh, I would call it like a village or a hamlet or something like that, but they just happen to have this giant satellite dish, and the whole town just goes nuts. The whole town goes crazy. It's like an Australian version of Bye Bye Birdie, but it's a real serious movie. It's really, really well done. Patrick Warburton is in this movie, from Seinfeld. But Sam Neill is just great in this thing, and it's like one of these small indie movies, and I love every frame of this movie. Matter of fact, I think I'm gonna go rent it again today, just because that's how much I like it and I haven't seen it in a long time. It's called The Dish, and I would highly recommend it. It's probably, you know, if I'm making out a list of my all-time 50 best movies ever, it's probably maybe top 30, I would think. Because you got to have Goodfellas and The Godfather, both movies in there and everything. But again, it's called The Dish. Anyhow, Sam Neill, 74 today. Most people know him from Jurassic Park. It was 207 years ago today, 1814, that Francis Scott Key wrote the words to the Star Spangled Banner. As some people know, it was an old drinking song. Guys would get hammered in a pub somewhere in England or Scotland and start singing, you know, ah, da, 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 da. I don't know what they sang to it, but Francis Scott Key took the song and just gave it new lyrics. He was like the Weird Al, Yankovic of his time. And you know, all of that 207 years ago. My dad came home once in the 60s when all those Pollock jokes were going on. And he said, you know, the guy who wrote the national anthem was a Pollock? And I was like, no. He goes, yeah, Francis Scott Key. Good morning, everybody. And then he said, George Washington was a Pollock. Who else would be stupid enough to stand up in a boat? It's got nothing to do with whether or not you're Polish. It's the joke that's funny, because you could insert blonde. You could do anything, you know. That was like the thing about this, the Polish space program. They said, we're going to be the first country to land a man on the sun. And somebody told the guy from the Polish space program, the sun is like 10,000 degrees. He goes, oh, no, we're going to go at night. Good morning, everybody. The Golden Girls debuted on NBC 36 years ago today in 1985. Betty White, the last Golden Girl standing, and Patrick Swayze died of pancreatic cancer on this day 12 years ago, 2009. He was 57. When I lived in Fort Wayne back in the late 1970s, there was a weather guy, and he did this thing that I tried to steal. I never managed to get it to work, but he had a book called It's Against the Law, and it was just filled with all of these laws in various municipalities all over the country where you scratch your head and go, now, why would it, you know, it's like, it's illegal to feed a goat corn on a Sunday, you know, stuff like that. And he would point to a place on the map and go, you know, and right now the temperature is 77 in Gainesville, Georgia, where on Tuesdays you can't use a hammer. You know, just ridiculous. Why would anybody pass a law like that? Well, here you go. Still to this date, 2021, it's illegal to make, sell, or even have possession of confetti in Mobile, Alabama. That's a real law. They lifted all the mask mandates at Disneyland and Disney World, and now they're all coming back again. And you'd think Disneyland, for example, would be friendly to mice, as in, you know, Mickey fucking Mouse, all right? But no, matter of fact, there's 200 feral cats that roam around Disneyland at night, taking out the rodent population. Who knew? Now, I don't know how they get the cats to go away when the sun comes up. I've been to Disneyland a couple of times and never seen one cat. My mother-in-law in Maryland Heights has a chicken coop and chickens. She has about six of them, and the chicken coop guy across the street built the thing for her, and it's like the Ritz-Carlton of chicken coops. Honest to God, this chicken coop is almost as nice as my first apartment coming out of college, all right? These chickens have no idea how they have it made. I mean, they really have it made. And she goes out there every day and gets the eggs, and so there you go. Now get this. You know, you've heard Three Stooges, you should call these other bird brains, right? Because you look at a bird's head and you think, well, it's probably got a brain the size of an eraser on the end of a pencil, all right? Get this. Chickens prefer more attractive humans to less attractive humans. You're being judged by a chicken. Something's not right. Something's not right. In a new survey, 81% of people who own a home say they've done at least one project since the start of the pandemic, and almost half have done more than four. Over 40% said their DIY projects were more challenging and expensive than expected, and nearly 80% made a minor or major mistake. Saving money, the main reason people do it themselves, but others include having more spare time, they thought it would be fun, and also they want to learn a new skill. As for inspiration, DIY TV shows did a lot for people, but other contributing factors were social media and wanting to prove someone wrong about their ability to do it. Not surprisingly, men outnumbered women in that category. In a separate survey, 38% of people say they look back on their DIY projects and think, I shouldn't have done that. The riskier DIY projects for amateurs involve, things like electric, gas, and water. Another reminder that social media is not the best place for reliable health advice. People are now huffing the fumes from onions because they think it kills the coronavirus. Memes claiming it's true have been circulating on Facebook, especially in Asia. They say to cut an onion in half, cup it against your nose and mouth, and take a series of deep breaths. But there is zero evidence it does anything except except you're going to start crying and your breath is going to stink. Now, it's gained so much traction that the news outlet AFP felt the need to debunk it. One doctor they talked to said it's just more bogus information that could end up being really harmful to the general public. While all of that goes on and we try to figure out ways to cope with the pandemic, in the state of Florida, the parade of freaks continues. A man in Florida arrested for indecent exposure over the weekend after repeatedly driving up to the cash booths of toll plazas completely naked. He did it at least 7 times in a 1-week period. He was hit with several indecent exposure charges. Gosh, you think? In that debate that always seems to be going back and forth, scientists are now saying that overeating is not the primary cause of obesity. It is what we eat. When given the opportunity, Americans will show how boorish and stupid they are when they're trying to be creative. If you're not a creative person, leave the creativity to somebody else. Because, otherwise you get stories like this. A political group in Indiana, they had a float in a parade as part of 9/11. Oh, and by the way, since when do we shoot off fireworks on 9/11? I don't understand that. Go out on Saturday night at dark and there's fireworks going on all over the place. Now, I suppose it could have been a wedding or something like that, because I would tell you this, you'd probably sure get the band and the hall cheap, because nobody wants to say that their wedding anniversary was on 9/11. So I suppose it is possible it was not related to the World Trade Center disaster. But anyhow, we move on. Anyhow, so this political group in Indiana has a float in the parade, and it featured the World Trade Center towers, and they had holes in the side of the buildings, which they had made out of, paper mache or something like that. So people are standing along the parade route, and here comes this float, and it's the two World Trade Center towers on fire with smoke coming out of them. They used a fog machine to create the smoke. Needless to say, people did not have a good reaction. Oh, man. Britney Spears engaged to her longtime boyfriend. She and her fiance registered at Bed Bath and Bad Ideas. I watch a lot of news, a real lot of news. I get off the air or off the off the internet, as the case may be, and on goes the TV news, and I watch it pretty much all day. If I'm home, I watch a lot of the commentary and opinion stuff at night. If I'm watching a Cardinal game and they're getting blown out, I'm like, I'm not going to put myself through this. I don't have to watch it to the end. I flip right to the cable news. And if you want to be taken seriously, You cannot have a name like Crystal Ball, and I think she's on MSNBC now. And if you're in local news, you can't have a name like Pepper Baker, which we now have on Channel 5. Pepper? I'm sure that's how you were baptized. In the name of the Father, Pepper. Then I got another guy, by the way. His name is Holden Kulwicki. Really rolls off the tongue. And Channel 5 might want to invest a little money and have that Asian gal with that thing on her chin, have that thing taken off. People, I believe, who are in television news should be judged on the quality of their work and not necessarily just on their appearance. But I can't get to the quality of her work because that thing is so goddamn distracting. I'm sitting there watching the news. She does a whole couple of stories. I don't even know what she was talking about because all I do is stare at that thing on her chin. It used to be that if you had some sort of major facial imperfection, you couldn't be on TV. Now they just get who's ever cheap. 14% of people who are vaccinated say they've ended a friendship with somebody who is not. That's about 1 in 7. Unvaccinated people were much less likely to say they've unfriended somebody in the past 18 months. Around 1 in 6 people who've unfriended somebody say they've ended at least 3 friendships since the pandemic started, but not all of them had to do with the virus. 16% of people who've dumped a friend said it was over politics. 15% said the person started dating or sleeping with an ex of theirs. That's a no-no. 12% said they were gossiping about him, and 7% said they found out their former friend is just a big fat liar. The luxury clothing brand Balenciaga under fire for selling a pair of $1,200 sweatpants with built-in underwear that always show. They're made to look like you've got boxers on and your pants are sagging so the top of the boxers are peeking out. They cost $1,190 at Balenciaga.com. Some people say it's cultural appropriation or downright racist. Either way, that's an expensive pair of sweats. A flight attendant shared 5 things you should never do on an airplane. For example, never touch the flush button with your bare hand, don't wear shorts, and don't be afraid to let a flight attendant know if you're feeling sick. Why aren't you supposed to wear shorts? Because what, you have to bug them for a blanket then? And the blankets used to be free, although you wouldn't, you know, I have a lot of friends who are flight attendants. Let me just tell you something. Don't ever use one of those blankets. Don't ever use one of those pillows. Plus, now they're charging for them anyhow. Just bring your own stuff. And Jeff Bezos reportedly, as we said, interested in buying the Denver Broncos. He said he always wanted to own a pro football team, which is why he eliminated buying the Jacksonville Jaguars. And with that, we say another J.C. Corcoran podcast is in the can here at jconline.com for the 14th of September 2021. We post every weekday morning right about 7 o'clock, absolutely free. Everything is archived. You can go back and binge them if you want. Email me at jc@jconline.com. On Facebook, you can follow me, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Talk to you again tomorrow morning. Enjoy your day. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.